Monday, a clear, crisp, solemn day in the nation's capital, the day the president was to be buried. WQMR News was on the scene as the band played, and the Capitol Rotunda was closed to the public. More than 500,000 persons had filed through the rotunda to pay their respects to the fallen president as his body lay in state. The doors were closed, then Jacqueline Kennedy, escorted by her two brothers-in-law, arrived. The day before, Mrs. Kennedy had paid three visits to the rotunda. On this day, four servicemen, one from each service, stood at each corner of the casket. The casket bearers at one side. The casket was moved from the rotunda, preceded by a color guard holding the American flag, followed by a solitary sailor carrying the presidential flag. He is Edward W. Namath, a member of the Honor Guard, stationed at the Anacostia Naval Station. Throughout the morning city, bells toll for the fallen chief. Outside on the Capitol Plaza, ruffles and flourishes, a solemn hymn, and a 21-gun salute. Then the body of President Kennedy goes down Pennsylvania Avenue on the trip to the White House for the last time, on its way to St. Matthew's Cathedral for the burial mass. Here's how WQMR listeners heard Bob Welch describe the mass to be said for the fallen chief.
This is reporter Bob Welch with the story about the solemn pontifical mass that will be celebrated this morning for John F. Kennedy. The mass will be celebrated at St. Matthew's Cathedral by Richard Cardinal Cushing and is a pontifical requiem mass. It is what is called a low mass. Now this means that all the prayers of the mass will be spoken and not sung, as would be the case if this were a high mass. A pontifical mass is one that is celebrated by anyone who has been consecrated a bishop. This mass has the same prayers as the mass that is celebrated every day in all Catholic churches. Its distinctive difference is that all the prayers will be directed with mention of the deceased, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and his immortal soul. This is the mass that will be celebrated this morning at St. Matthew's Cathedral in the nation's capital.
And in the world, the sadness of the occasion is reflected in the doleful music played by the Navy Band as the president's body is taken for the last time to the White House. And the six white horses pull the caisson into the driveway. At the White House, where President Kennedy's body had been taken, great heads of state from all over the world gathered to pay their respects to the fallen American chief. On hand were General Charles de Gaulle of France, his military tunic bare of decoration, Queen Frederica of Greece, Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia, in his black uniform with dazzling braid, U Thant, Secretary General of the United Nations, Prince Philip from Britain, and Mikoyan from Russia. Besides the bereaved family, former Presidents Truman and Eisenhower, members of the Supreme Court, and America's military leaders, too, had gathered to follow the body of President John F. Kennedy. In the background, the bagpipes wail as the Black Watch plays on this solemn occasion, and the horse-drawn caisson, the riderless horse, Mrs. Kennedy, and heads of state from all nations down the driveway onto St. Matthew's Cathedral. As the procession approached the church, WQMR listeners heard Bill Doty describe the scene.
The drama of this day has begun to unfold. The crowd, which has now grown to a tremendous size, almost an unbelievable size, is watching now as marching units representing the various services march so slowly up Connecticut Avenue in the direction of St. Matthew's Cathedral. A unit now approaching us
appears to be the Air Force Band. The drums beating. The drums sheathed in black. They're right below us now. The slow cadence of the marching units. And now, a small group of automobiles driving slowly past us. Of course, when the main part of the cortege arrives, the dignitaries will be all on foot. We hear the sound of bagpipes off in the distance, approaching us, coming up Connecticut Avenue from the direction of the White House. The crowd, hardly a murmur from the crowd. So many children in the crowd, wrapped in blankets by their parents to keep them off the cold, as it is cold here on Connecticut Avenue. Sunny, but very cold. People have been standing here for hours. Many have brought along their own individual methods of gaining a better vantage point from which to see this procession. Step ladders, oil drums. In fact, it was from an oil drum just beneath us a few moments ago. A tragic accident occurred. A woman attempting to climb the oil drum slipped and fell, striking her head on the sidewalk below us here on Connecticut Avenue. Fortunately, first aid units were close by, and they cut their way through the thick crowd to go to the woman's aid, and she has now been removed. We don't know her condition, but she apparently was knocked unconscious by the fall. A marching unit now of the United States Marines passing us by. The white tops to their hats glinting in the sun, as is the gleaming tips of the bayonets atop their rifles. And now, pipers, Scotch pipers below us. Nine of them marching so slowly as the bagpipes wail. And now, the moment, the terribly sad moment the crowd has all been waiting for. Seven white horses drawing the caisson, draped with the American flag, coming so slowly past this crowd. The Air Force personnel lining both sides of Connecticut Avenue, and the policemen with them standing at rigid attention, saluting now as the caisson is passing directly below us now. Caisson bearing the casket containing the mortal remains of the man we are honoring here today, the late President John F. Kennedy. It's directly below us now. The slow clatter of horses' hooves, the slow turning of the black caisson wheels. The riderless horse, saber attached, being led directly behind the caisson. And now the dignitaries are directly below us. Senator Ted Kennedy, Attorney General Robert Kennedy, between them, Mrs. Kennedy, walking head erect, black veil covering her beautiful face, walking directly up the center of Connecticut Avenue. Behind them, directly, our new president, Lyndon Johnson. And now the host of foreign dignitaries, Emperor Haile Selassie, is the first one we see, resplendent in the uniform of his country. Towering head and shoulders above practically everyone else, France's President Charles de Gaulle. He is dressed in the tan uniform. And the crowd is passing so rapidly, we can only just pick out. Actually, they're not moving too rapidly, but there are so many of them, it's hard to pick out individual faces as they move along. Japanese Prime Minister Ikeda. The tall, handsome face of Prince Philip of England, representing Queen Elizabeth II. All of the men in long black coats, the women in black coats with black hats. Most of the men, in fact, all of them are bareheaded, carrying their hats in their hands as they move past us slowly. More dignitaries continue to pass by, all on foot, moving slowly in the direction of St. Matthew's Cathedral, where in just a moment, funeral services will be held for the late President John F. Kennedy.
That was WQMR newsman Bill Doty at the corner of Connecticut and L, a block away on M Street at St. Matthew's Cathedral. After the procession arrived, Cardinal Cushing conducted the funeral mass.
The angel is Jack Lee's May the martyrs receive you at your coming. May the Spirit of God increase and may it stop with all those who made the supreme sacrifice of dying for others are received eternal rest and peace.
While the service was conducted, the caisson was turned around and brought back to a position in front of the church. Dozens of limousines were lined up to carry the Kennedy family, President and Mrs. Johnson, and other dignitaries to Arlington. The church doors were open, and the honor guard came to stiff attention. Flag bearers with the American colors and the presidential flag stood outside the entrance. The Joint Chiefs and military aides saluted, and the honor guards moved rifles to present arms. The late president's mother cried as she left the church. Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy seemed composed. She had John Jr. by her left hand and held Caroline in her right hand. The family paused at the curbstone while the coffin was placed aboard the caisson, and the band played Hail to the Chief. Cardinal Cushing used a handkerchief to wipe tears from his eyes. It was a solemn scene. The president's widow leaned over once to talk to John Jr., and John stood at attention and saluted his father's casket. Then bells pealed softly as the funeral services ended. And at 1:30, the caisson began rolling on President Kennedy's final journey. During the past 3 days, WQMR had received many requests for Barry Clark to read his works of prose, composed on the moment as Barry covered the four dark days for WQMR News. Down Connecticut Avenue, onto 17th Street, past the Lincoln Memorial to Arlington Cemetery, as the funeral procession slowly wound its way through the streets and the sounds of solemn drums floated over Washington, WQMR listeners heard Barry Clark read his own works, and here are the actual off-the-air recordings.
Mr. Kennedy, the place is not the same, will never be the same again. I miss your voice, the music of your smile, your kind face. I miss your courage, the glint of life in your eyes. So very much, I miss you. The morning has ended, and the sun is high but falling. The tears are for you. The flags flutter for you. The people here are for you. The silence is for you. The eternal memory is for you. So very much we miss you. But you are gone, old friend, and something gentle in this life is lost forever. What shall the autumn wind sing now that our captain is no more? What shall the dust of the prairie do now that our captain has gone. The ship you mastered remains on the stormy seas. The skies are dark and the wind is not still, but it will sail on. Your task was hard and your job was lonely. Your shoulders bore the heavy load, the burden of courage on trial, the burden of decision, the burden of a nation's life. And there was the burden of death, which brought you sleep. Now, sleep on, O Captain, and the ship will roll on. Sleep on in your never-waking sleep, and the course will be steered. Sleep on, for you have not died in vain. Out of Massachusetts he came. Young and graceful and handsome he was. There was a look of wisdom in his face, and there was dignity in the soft look of his eyes. There was also the mark of destiny for immortality. He walked with measured strides, seeking the light of knowledge. His body was strong after the tests of courage. His mind was alert and remarkable. He was a giant oak chopped down in the forest of November. The shot has rung out. The echo lingers, but the damage is done. There is no fury now. He sleeps, and soon his dust shall mingle with his native earth once more. No more to smile his smile, no more to brush aside that boyish wisp of hair above his brow. No more to show his quick wit, to point his finger to emphasize, to listen, to ponder, to reply. And the horses move slowly on. The horses carry him past. The horses move with bowed heads, as if they understand and are sad. The horses, the gray horses, the gray, gray horses, their names must be Death, their leader, then pain and sorrow, then anguish and grief, then remorse. And the riderless seventh, the horse of the commander in chief, the seventh horse is eternity. It is a bright and clear afternoon. The sky is so blue and the air so mild, and yet it isn't. It isn't at all. It's cold and lonely and dark and dismal. It is an afternoon of agony. A great man has died, and a great people weep on a bright and clear, dark and dismal afternoon in November. And beyond the tears of the thousands gathered here for the cortege of President Kennedy, beyond the buildings of government, the cherry blossom trees so bare, beyond the Washington Monument and the reflecting pool, sits the martyred Lincoln, his woodsman's hands clutching the arms of his chair, his expression gaunt, his eyes sad. Lincoln, the man. Lincoln, the leader. Lincoln, the wise. Lincoln, the great emancipator. Now, Lincoln looks to these proceedings, his head in his hands, and he is crying too. The Lincoln Memorial, the bridge, the pillars, the people, the colors, the flags, the drums, always the drums, the horses' hooves on the pavement, a caisson, a casket, a body, and a flag. Blue skies over Washington. Blue skies over the hills of Virginia. Blue skies over an open grave that waits. The drums, the people, the dead who are waiting, the dead who are coming. The sad, sad day of November, a day we will never forget. He was a boy in Massachusetts. He was a young man in Washington. He was slightly older in the White House. He was very young when he died. No more will he see the Capitol. No more the White House. No more a girl called Caroline. No more a boy called John John. No more his mother's smile. No more his father's hand. No more the help of brothers and sisters. No more Christmas Eves. Not another day for Thanksgiving. No more football games on a Saturday afternoon. No more pleasant nights beneath the stars. Fades thy light, and afar goeth day, cometh night, and a star leadeth all, speedeth all to their rest. The sun is high, the sun is so high over Arlington.
The funeral procession is almost at Arlington Cemetery. While the cortege was passing through the streets of Washington, WQMR, in its own way, was paying a final tribute to the late John F. Kennedy.
By this time, the procession had arrived at Arlington Cemetery. Mrs. Kennedy walked to the grave beside the Attorney General. As the coffin was moved toward the grave, the President's plane, Air Force One, zoomed above. And once again, the Cardinal conducted the religious portion of the service.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Be generous, grant unto him, O Lord. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in him. Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
As Cardinal Cushing began the prayer, de Gaulle stood at rigid attention. On one side of the French president was the Irish president, and on the other the tiny figure of the Emperor of Ethiopia. The sun sank lower, and long shadows began to fall across the mourners. Noticeably, to the left of the grave was Russia's Mikoyan. And at this point, the battery fired the 21-gun salute. The Attorney General led Mrs. Kennedy to the head of the grave as the bugler sounded taps. At the conclusion of taps, the body bearers folded the interment flag, and the folded flag was then handed to the superintendent of the ceremony for presentation to Mrs. Kennedy. The cemetery superintendent walked to the widow and handed her the flag. Then she was handed a torch to light the eternal flame at the head of her husband's grave. She touched the torch to the flame, then handed it to the president's brother, Robert, who also placed the torch on the flame, and then handed it to their other brother, Senator Edward Kennedy, who repeated the process. And Mrs. Kennedy walked from the grave. The flame, lit by Mrs. Kennedy and her two brothers-in-law, burned brightly behind the polished mahogany coffin as it waited to be lowered finally into the soil. Then Barry Clark, speaking for all of us at WQMR, ended our coverage of the four dark days.
Goodbye, Mr. Kennedy. Rest in peace. Sleep the long sleep. Sleep forever. Goodbye, Mr. Kennedy. We will not forget.